number four is a very big number, at least on Seder night, four sons, four questions, four cups of wine, four blessings, four languages of redemption. What's the idea of number four? And we know also that God has four letters. It is the most special name of all the names, the Yud Kei, Vav Kei, those four letters in Hebrew are the most special arrangement of God's name. We know God created four universes in the process of creation. We're the lowest, our universe. I say universe, I mean the whole universe, not just solar system, is the lowest of the four. The three universes above. And I don't know much, just going out of theory, maybe the black hole that they found, the black holes, something which, anything which goes there disappears and they don't know what happened to it. Maybe that gets to the next universe above it. So, what's idea four? That there are four levels in which a person can be, can lose his freedom, so to speak, can become enslaved. We say this, we say Hashem, God, so may chnoifim, beroifichel, matasum, kemnos, and the shame yafa. He supports those who fall, he heals those who are sick, he frees those who are in prison, and he keeps his promise to those who are dead, who are sleeping in the dirt. So you see, in other words, when a person is falling in four levels, first no fell, he stumbles. He was a certain level, and he fell off this level. Sick is worse. He's laying in bed, so had a real fear, and it's like a sick person that can't even function properly. He's not at all. He's like in a very bad state. And finally, you get to the point where he goes into a prison. What does a prison mean? He doesn't even have any spiritual life to him. I mean, people in prison, especially long-range prisoners, they lose hope. They lose hope. So, he's in prison. A sick person has hope, a doctor will come. I'm getting a medicine. For someone who's given, let's say, a 35-year sentence, he's not up for parole until 10 years. So where's his hope? Finally, dead. He's dead and all hope is gone. So these are four levels. To stumble, to become sick, to get into a prison situation, and to push it to die. Now, the Jews in Egypt, So really, there were four levels of what God had said would be, what God told Abraham. First level was, Gei Yizaracha Bezal HaBavon Bin Osam HaMamei Shonazul. Gei Yizaracha. The children will wander. Yitzchak was a wanderer. Jacob was a wanderer. They weren't settled in one place. Then, when he went to Egypt, he went to Eretz Lahem, went to a different country. And then in that country, they were Avodim, they became servants of slaves, and Imoisim, and they made them suffer very badly. So four levels of going into Egypt.
What were the four?
To wander. To leave the country. To wander around. To leave the country. To become a slave and to suffer. It's pain as a slave, right? Big suffering. So therefore, we could say that. That's what it says in the Shmon Esrei. Samechnofen, Vachal, Matez, and Kamashon, God. All four levels you can find Hashem. At all four levels you can find Hashem. He steps in to help the person at that level. Even a dead person has a hope that Hashem will help. Because we know Hashem is going to make everybody come back to life. Then we have four steps of redemption. We have the four lashonos of Geula. But we have like this. First, people listen to Moshe. It means they got some hope. Why? So we have four things. God helped us every step of the way. Every step of the way. To go up and up and up. From death to sickness, to foreign country, to wanderings. All these things God helped us go through. So that's why in this tonight there are four basic things that you do with food. Matzah, Pesach, Marah, and dipping. Oh, maror, the bitter herbs, you know, is the numerical value of the word mavis. So we have apparently the Jews fell to such a low level Hashem helps them. So when we get a message for our own Pesach is that what's true for the Am Yisrael, what's true for the Jewish nation is true for every individual. Whatever his spiritual malaise is, whatever, however profound or moderate or light it is, Hashem will always come and help him overcome it. He should never be miyayish. We should never give up hope and say, no, it's hopeless. It's not hopeless. It could be very difficult, but hopeless it's not. Being Jewish is never hopeless. Could be difficult, very difficult, but not hopeless. Despite all the problems, but when you look at the situation of the Jews in the world today, you're astounded by how many blessings we have. It's really amazing. So we should only hope that as we go to the Pesach, all the Jews who need their redemption, whatever level they're at, will merit it, will get it. Because on Pesach, Hashem gives us redemption even if we don't deserve it. It's because He knows, first of all, as He told Moshe, asked why. So Hashem tells Moshe, and you'll see that, you'll see in the future, they will accept the Torah. They're going to be better than anybody else. So first of all, Hashem is giving a lot of blessings, not because we deserve it today, but because we will deserve it. We will do good things in the future. And also we have, like the Jews in Egypt, the merit. That's what Hashem told Moshe. You'll see they're going to take the Torah to have Sinai. But we also have the fact that there's a merit of forefathers. Just like the Jews in Egypt had, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov gave them the merit to be redeemed. So we ourselves also, whatever we think we are or not, or we're not, I don't know, but we know we had illustrious forefathers. We also know that in the future, the Jewish people will definitely rise to the occasion. It's a good investment. Hashem is a smart businessman. He knows to invest. And as a good businessman, he knows you always invest when something is underpriced. Underpriced. Then you are the one to get the money in there, because the market will pull the price back to where it should be. So the Jewish people are underpriced. People don't appreciate us the way that they should. They don't think we're worth what we are. Hashem knows better. He invests in us. And investment also, a cardinal rule of investment is patience. Patience, quick returns are not so secure. You want to have a good investment, you have to have a secure investment, which is not normally a quick return. Same thing, Hashem is not patient with Am Yisrael. He waits like He waited for the few hundred years they were in Egypt, till He finally saw that He should take them out. Now He's waiting a few thousand years, and He will take us out. It has to happen. So as we go to the Pesach holiday, we take a lot of encouragement from what happened with our forefathers in Mitzrayim, in Egypt.
The Jews were taken, they were not the outcome that by forced them.
The four-fifth refused to go out. In other words, you didn't have to deserve to go out. The ones who went out were the Memtah Shari Tumah. Everybody in Egypt, by objective standards, was wicked. The angel said they don't understand why Hashem has taken them out. They were protesting. The difference between the one-fifth that went out and the four-fifths that didn't go out was that the four-fifths refused to go out. That Hashem can't do for you, for them. Hashem can only make it possible to go out. But that's freedom of choice. Person says, I don't want to be. I don't want to be Jewish at all. Chas v'shalom. Hashem's not going to force them to be Jewish. At least not them. Today maybe it's different. I saw and swam them. Mashiach Olam Haba. Every Jew has to become part of the process. Just as some scholars say, they'll be different than Egypt. In Egypt, Hashem Hashem only helped those who wanted to go out. Could be that when it comes time to have a Mashiach, Hashem will even redeem those who don't want to go out. The thorns are strong. The bigger. That's why Gemara says, it's a pasuk, Mashiach will come, will say, be bigger miracles than Mitzrayim. What could be a bigger miracle than Mitzrayim? God changed water into blood, changed dirt into lice, brought all the wild animals of Africa, the hailstones with fire inside. What could be a bigger miracle than what God did? So it's not going to be greater physical miracles. The miracles of Mitzrayim are the greatest ever. Nothing compares. Maybe Hashem will do something before, I don't know. I mean, it couldn't be greater. Hashem changed the world of nature. What will be greater is a spiritual that Hashem will redeem people who don't want to be redeemed. In Egypt, he only redeemed those one-fifth who wanted to be redeemed. They wanted to get out. The 80% wanted to stay. Hashem told them, listen, I can't do more than open the door for you. You want to stay here? Okay. That was before we got the Torah. Once we got the Torah, then Hashem has to redeem us even if we don't want to. Because deep down, we do want to. Even if a Jew is saying, I don't want to be redeemed, but because he's after we got the Torah at Sinai, he has deep inside of him what happened in Sinai. He said, I want to be Jewish, Na'aseh v'nishma. Since he said, the Na'aseh v'nishma, it reverberates. It's there, even if he doesn't understand it, it's there. So since he made such a commitment to Hashem, Hashem is committed to him, even if he says, I don't want it. So that's a much greater level than Egypt. In Egypt, he didn't want to go out, didn't go out.
Really, even the Jews, those four-fifths who died, were they still at Har Sinai for Matan Torah?
No.
No. I mean,
they never made it. They dropped out.
I mean, they're neshamos also, like?
How can we say they're part of Klal Yisrael? 45ths of Klal Yisrael. They're part of Klal Yisrael.
Right, they never became part of Klal Yisrael. Never became Jewish. They were just children of Abraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov. And then at the very last moment, when they had the chance, they walked out. Like other children of Abraham, Yishmael, Esau, children of Keturah, so.
But they're children of the Shvatim, Yud Beis. So shouldn't that be like automatically they're part of the Kahal Adas Yisrael, the whole Indian of Yisrael that comes from the Yud Beis Shvatim?
They never ate the Korban Pesach. Those were, they died before Pesach. They died during the days of Choshech.
Right.
Pesach made a person part of the Jewish nation. If he never got to Pesach, he was just an offspring of Avraham, but he wasn't. The Jewish nation comes into existence with the Korban Pesach. But these four-fifths, they died before, it says, so they died before the Pesach, during the days of Choshech.
But I mean, that was just especially something for that generation, like previous generations, didn't have the opportunity to eat the Korban Pesach. Like, I mean, the Avos obviously.
So as Avos made a Korban Pesach, there was no obligation. Apparently it was just a one-time thing. It didn't go to the children. The thing is like this, that nowadays, this is my problem, I'm not so sure. Because I know in Egypt that they had this dropout. And we see today that there's a very big dropout. Someone today showed me an amazing statistic in America. It was released by the conservative movement. They took surveys. In 1990, the number of children, Jewish children getting Jewish education. So 1990, had like this, at the Orthodox, let's say, of all the Jewish children in America, like I said, that Orthodox children make up 15% of the Jewish children in the country. It's 1990. By the year 2000, Orthodox children were 40% of the Jewish children in the country. And the conservatives, 1990, they said 18% of the Jewish children in the country were conservative. And they went to conservative synagogue. By the year 2000, that 18% had dropped to 11. Only 11% of the Jewish children in the country were conservative. The Orthodox are up to 40% of Jewish children. That means, as we knew from before, that probably by the year 2020, 80% of the children in the country will be Orthodox.
That's great,
now
it's unbelievable.
Wow. It is unbelievable. It's a tremendous but my question is, all those people who are dropping out, it's very unfortunate because they're dropping out just before we're going to make the, you know, when it's before the stock splits and triples or quadruples in price, and you know, it's been sitting around doing nothing. And people lose patience and hope and start selling out. But the guy who's smart knows, one second, if this is going to split. Yeah, well, just a little more patience. So that's what you see. The conservative, the reform, they lost patience in so many years, so many troubles. So America's a great country. Why do I have to be Jewish? I can jump in and join the party with everybody else. Meanwhile, the Orthodox are saying, wait a second, don't jump yet. There's going to be a big stock split. The stock's going to be the next Google. So, hang on. So that's why the conservative children are going from 18% of the population in America down to 11, and the Orthodox go from 15 up to 40. The Orthodox, thank God, are having huge, huge families.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's a geometric growth. So, by the way, you're going to see the same thing in Israel over the next years. It's going to be the same thing like in America. That's the way it's going to be. It's unfortunate. So my question is, what's the idea? I mean, all these souls coming from parents, great-grandparents, who are at Har-Sinai. Now, very, very end of the long, long trip. already back in Israel, we already have Yerushalayim. You know, it's close. It's for the end of the trip. Now these people jump off the boat and say, no, we don't want it. So what's going to happen with their souls? So that's it. They can. Are they like the four-fifths who jumped off the boat at the very end of the order? It's also tragic. Here they suffered so much for hundreds of years and have a chance to go out. They say, no, we want to stay. Yes. What do you think?
I just got a text message. We make this year Lerfu Shlema Yitzchak and Rina, Renee Rina.
Absolutely. This year is dedicated to the Lerfu of Yitzchak.
Yitzchak Ben Renee Rina.
Ben Renee Rina.
High off the breath.
Yeah, someone just text message.
Okay. Is he listening in? Is this being broadcast
no,
live?
No,
maybe that's the Peshan and Machlok in the Gemara, where there's a satisfied that we're going to come back. She says, those people who go away, they, once they go away, they lose their...
those who walk out. But they're walking out because they lost the patience. They became helpless, hopeless. But does Hashem have Rechmanis and say, even if they walked out on me like that, I still will bring them back? That's the Machlokas. Very good. The 10 tribes who are lost will be redeemed.
Where's the Machlokas
really? I think it's the Machlokas and Kasubas.
Maybe Sahadron, maybe that's
Pirate.
Sahadron, Sahadron, that's Pirate.
Sahadron.
The
Heilig. The Heilig.
Some people say they're not lost. They have a place, you know, in some Sabbatian something. Something like that. You know, they're staying. Other some different opinions there.
Right.
So I heard that like that.
Right.
The Moshe, when the Moshe is on the high call and the also on other sides. That's heard something with the Russian mentioning that.
That's the thing. They will come back.
Yeah, it's also. I'm chalikos, machalikos. Some yes, I'm not. Kivim at the blazer.
Right. The Rambam, the Pirush of Mishnayos, and the Gemara. Gemara says that they're going. That the 10 tribes became going. They were truly lost.
I don't understand how it's possible. How did they just become going? I mean, where does it lose this?
It's
Mujba of Yoimin, Arsinai. What happened to that Shua? What happened to the Pintel of Yid? I don't get the whole concept. How did a Jew ever lose his Jewishness? How does it ever work?
It only gets a horror, no?
What do you call it?
Breaking out
of Sarim? I mean,
of our. In all the Hashkafas of Yad, just understand how it fits in.
It's against the Hasidish Hashkafa. And the Mitzvah Hashkafa was not a problem. They walked out, so that's it. Goodbye. Decided to leave, so the Hasidus, it's a difficult thing. Abraham Brisker was so impressed, so to speak, of that Gemara that they became goyim. That he said that probably, he says he wanted to come up with a definition. When does a Jew become a goy? He says the 10 tribes became goyim. So he said, if a Jew has no idea that he is a Jew, he's part of a group of Jews who also have no idea that they're Jewish, then they cease to become Jewish, you see. And they lose it.
They have no idea they're Jewish, not Jewish anymore?
That's what he said.
Wow.
That's a very strict, it's very difficult, because there are plenty of Jews who grew up not knowing that they're Jewish, and they did, for example, Madeleine Albright, she claims that she didn't know she was Jewish until they told her, and after she was Secretary of State. Someone wrote an article, he researched her parents, he discovered that they're Jewish.
She
says, no one ever told me. My parents never told me.
Wow.
She's not, I mean, she's not part of like a large group of people with their own culture that were once formerly Jewish.
It's hard to believe her story because she moved at the age of 14 with her parents out of Hungary to avoid the Nazis. Her parents were Hungarian diplomats. They moved out of Hungary to avoid the Nazis because they were Jewish. They didn't want to have a problem. They never told her we're moving because we're Jewish. It's hard to believe. That's what she says. So, did she cease being Jewish? Can't you climb this? Because she's not even Jewish. Of course, you know, she was born, but she grew up not knowing. Therefore, she's not. Anyway, I don't exactly know. It's not clear what the definition is. Yes?
But don't we say Yisrael, Aki Shachata Yisraeli?
Right. So we don't exactly know what exactly he meant or how he wanted to apply this rule. He wanted to apply it only to the Meranos. He wanted to say Meranos make Jewish. But anyway, it's not Hasidish. Hasidish definitely says that a Jew may not know he's Jewish, but he is Jewish. He'll be redeemed. He'll get the same gula as
so the what does the Hasidic approach do with the Gemara that says they don't?
Some of Foshim disagree with the Rambam. The Rambam seems to say that the Gemara statement that they become goyim is midoraisa. A lot of the Mefoshim say that it's only according to the Rabbanon. It's a takana de Rabbanon to treat them like goyim lechumra, but not to be meiko. You can't, Cohen couldn't, let's say there's a person from the 10 tribes would die in a room. If he's a guy, a Cohen can stay there. If he's a dead Jew, Cohen has to leave the room. Cohen cannot be in the same room as a dead Jew. If the 10 tribes are midoraisa goyim, the Cohen could stay in the room when the 10 tribes person would die. If it's only a din de rabbanon that they're goyim, that means you have to be more strict sometimes. But if they die, it's a Jew who died, and you have to go out of the room. That's a big question. So you can learn like that, then the Hasidish idea is fine. Makes more. I mean, we're living in a day and age in which Hasidic thought has become the dominant thought system of the Jewish people. So we can follow the Hasidim in this. And we can say that there's a difference between post-Matan Torah, post-giving the Torah, to pre-Matan Torah. In the pre-Matan, before the giving of the Torah era, the Jews were in Egypt, the Jews said, I don't want to be Jewish, I'm walking out. He could do it. I don't want to be redeemed. So fine, you're out. No one's forcing you. It's a democracy. But post-Matan Torah, once the Torah was given, then we say, Yisrael, Shechata, Yisrael. A Jew can do as many sins, he's still Jewish. He cannot resign from being Jewish. That's it. You're there, God keeps you in. And you gain, because at the end, God will redeem you, despite the fact that you want to get out. He'll redeem you anyway. At the Hasidic Shvat. Yes?
The reason those four-fifths had to die was that the other Jews would be able to leave?
Probably, because if those four-fifths of the Jews would stay alive, they would stop the other Jews from leaving. You see, as it was in the desert, there were Jews who were probably very close to the four-fifths, because they make a rebellion, they want to go back to Egypt. But the four-fifths refused to leave. It's very interesting. The human psychology is very, very difficult to figure out. He'll always surprise you. The human person will always surprise the people who try to figure him out. One is human behavior. We have a professor and doing an investment. It's not based on rationality. A lot of it is very much emotion, which you can. Emotion is very hard to predict. It's not irrational.
There's an expression: rational irrationality.
Good.
Sometimes we do stupid things, but this stupidity might be the best behavior under the circumstances. So
yeah,
what appears to be rational might be the more rational thing to do under the circumstances.
Right. And I'll give you an example. I'm not an expert at all, but it's something which I have learned myself in the most bitter way. And that is, a lot of times, everybody is buying something. Price goes up and up and up. And meanwhile, you're afraid to buy because you don't know. But they're buying, making so much money. So, I finally will buy. I go and I buy. And the next day everything drops because I buy. So that's when it's going to collapse. It's such a typical emotional thing. Then you'll have things starting to fall. I'm not going to sell because I invested. That's the emotion. It's not a rational way of thinking. The rational is you buy when the price is low and you sell when the price is high. But the rational emotions tell you to do the opposite. Someone who has a good stomach, he knows how to do it. So I'm saying the human being is, that's why it's such a funny thing. So that's why you see the Jews, the people. People are emotional. Why the American Jews should assimilate at such a thing? The conservative and the reform ones, when they don't even mention ones who say they're not at all connected to Judaism. It's 50%. 50% of the Jews in America in 1990 said they have nothing to do with anything. Never go to synagogue, not even once a year. What's going on? Are there pogroms in America? Concentration camps? It's bad to be Jewish? No. American Jews are per capita, probably the richest subgroup in the country, for sure. In the 10 richest men in the world, I believe 3 of them are Jewish.
Bloomberg.
Huh? Well, Bloomberg is a billionaire. That does not. I don't know if he's in the top 10. But in the billionaires in the world, the Jews are a very high percentage. There's no other group like them. There's a Jew who's right next to the king of Saudi Arabia.
Who's that?
I don't know which one it is. One of the billionaires, Jewish billionaires. He's right next to the king in Saudi Arabia. One of these Russian tycoons, I think. The Russian Jewish tycoons, there's already 3 or 4 of the top 20 richest of the world. I mean, they own gas of Russia, or they own the metal in Russia. You know, very billionaires. In America, also plenty of Jewish billionaires today. So why is there this big rush to get out? Well, let's say 50%. It doesn't make it not rational. But somehow, they're doing today what their great-grandparents should have done 100 years ago. But their great-grandparents didn't do it. They said, we're sticking it out in the bad times, pogroms, Hitler. Come to grandchildren and said, I'm going to do what my grandfather didn't do. Why? Doesn't make any sense. Yes?
But, Rebbe, I don't understand. How could possibly say that Jew doesn't have a connection to Judaism, isn't Jewish anymore. If there's, I think there's a Gemara that says, Yisrael, Bishachar, the Yisraeli, if that's the case, you can't possibly say that Jew doesn't have a connection to Judaism or Jewish anymore, no matter how many sins he does. He's still a Jew.
It's a difficult Reb Chaim.
I don't understand. It doesn't make sense.
Difficult, yeah. So, but this, it, the scary question is, does Hashem let the Jew, does Hashem really let him do it, or does Hashem say at the end, I'm going to bring him back anyway? The Hasidim say Hashem will never let any Jew really go away.
It seems to be Shandar Mara, doesn't it? I mean, the Hasidim seem to come Shandar Mara down.
That's a good point, yeah. To have that Gemara is to support them. Yes?
May I offer a possible answer?
Please.
Maybe it would be a L'chumra. It's a halakha by Bishul Akham. If there's a Jew that clearly denies God entirely. So then the dino is the dino ka'achim, you know. So in that case, we're machmir that you don't eat the bishul of that person, even if they mashkiach, you know, because even if it's all kosher ingredients, because since it's the same din, maybe the chumra did for this cake.
All right, it's a problem. It's a problem between maybe certain halacha thinkers versus Hasidish and other thinkers. This is the question of the Jew doesn't want to be a Jew at all. Will Hashem let him do it? He didn't say no. Even if he doesn't want to, Hashem will make him a Jewish. For his own benefit. The others say, no, Hashem will let him go away if he wants to go away.
I mean, even
that's
if
a
you
big question.
Even if you deny Hashem, like, it's one thing to deny Hashem and not have Kabbalah Sol Malkut Shemayim, but it's like another thing to deny your ancestors, like, to different level, like to deny where you even came from, like to say you're not even part of that group, whether or not you agree with them, you're completely cutting yourself off.
What you're saying is that somehow the group identity is more basic than the connection to Hashem identity, because that latter one, the person God forbid denies, then he's still Jewish. But the first one, if he denies, he's not Jewish.
I mean, there's even a physical connection between you and your ancestors.
Right. Right.
That's true.
Well, I can say like this, that the theory that we had, that the religious Zionists had with Israel was that let the not religious Zionists come to Israel, physically they'll be part of the land, and then eventually the spirituality will turn on. That's there was a concept. And I'm not so sure that the concept is working, maybe based on that. That's a good question. But it may very well be that we'll see. You will definitely know. I hope I'll know also. 20 years, we'll take a look at the statistics, we'll see. According to all statistical trends, in 20 years, the Jews around the world will be overwhelmingly Orthodox. 80%. The rest will be disappeared.
Could be a riot or a crime. Although, not really a riot, but depends how literal you want to take it in the Haggadah. The Russia. So he says basically that he he's basically joining those Jews who
didn't want to go out.
Walked out. So we say, well, so we don't even talk to the Russia. The Russia is just like excluded altogether until we talk about him. So if you really want to be a literalist, you could say that that he's a god. He's now a god. He's no longer a Jew. We only deal with Jews and say that. We just revert to him. Like, if he was there, he wouldn't be there. He's no longer Jewish. That is a little extreme shot, you know. But if you want to take the Rashi to the fullest extreme, the Quran is that he's excluded because he's excluding himself.
Yeah, but really, with the shot, he could read the other way. He could say, if he would have been there, which is 4/5, before God gave the Torah, he would taka not be redeemed. But because now it's after the Torah,
now he
will be redeemed. That's why he's here.
He's here, we got
to
deal with him.
We have to deal with him. We have to figure it out. We have to.
If you were there, you wouldn't have been redeemed.
Right.
I'm giving him that Muslim. Right. You're lucky you weren't in that time, in that coup.
Right, you're lucky you're born now, so Hashem takes care of
you. Chance to be. So I'm going to try to work with you, whatever.
That's really the machlokas Lubavitcher Rebbe and the Satmar. Lubavitcher Rebbe says every Jew has to be redeemed, but and it's a mitzvah to speed up the process. Therefore, he sends out his Lubavitcher Chassidim to try to work with other Jews. The Satmar Rebbe said, no, if they want to leave, so fine. So they're leaving. They don't have to stop. We don't have to work with them. Fine. Great machlokas. Anyway,
the Satmar Rebbe is going more like the Rambam and.
Disregard. Yeah. Let's hope that the Lubavitcher was right. Every Jew will be redeemed, and anyway, the Chassidim say, Chassidish Rebbe. There's a pasuk. The pasuk in the Sefer Shmuel says, "Lebal yidach mimenu nidach." No one pushed aside will ever remain that way. Hashem will always bring them back. It's a pasuk. Okay, let's be zocher. We should have a happy Pesach, and we should be zocher for the real redemption. Amen.